Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys, welcome along to another edition of the show. Before we get started, obviously, very sad news out of Brazil. Chapa Coenze. I don't even know where to start with this, Ryan. I mean, like, as a United fan, we've been through the same thing. You know, the plane crash. I don't know how many survived now. Is it six? Out of everyone on board, including the press. Yeah, just really sad news, and
sad day for football. You know, there's not really a lot to say. You know, it looks like they'll get some kind of like structure in place where they obviously won't. They'll be like kind of void from relegation for the next couple of years. And I've heard a lot of different things about old players like Ronaldinho and Riquelme maybe coming out of retirement and offering their services for a year or so. But yeah, it's going to be
a tough few years.
Yeah, and you know, it's not really a footballing matter. It's kind of a life thing, isn't it? And it's just
right.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
It kind of puts into perspective the game.
Yeah, it's just a game, and you got that from I think pretty much every single ground around the world held a minute silence before games this weekend,
yeah.
Midweek. So yeah, I mean, yeah, just sad news.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, let's move on. Obviously. Start of the weekend, Man City versus Chelsea, and again, they had the minute silence at the ground. It was kind of somber, but then the game kicked off. It was at the Etihad Stadium. I was a bit disappointed in this. Man City get obviously, it was obviously a Cahill own goal. You're thinking maybe they could actually push ahead, and they actually played pretty good. Chelsea just, you know, as soon as they started scoring, that was it. I mean,
well, it was a tale of two halves, wasn't it? City were actually really, really good in the first half. Actually defended pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea did nothing in the first half. They didn't even have a shot on target. And, you know, Aguero had a couple of decent chances in that first half. David Silva had a good chance. You know, the Cahill spectacular own goal right on the stroke of half time.
That was world class.
It's goal of the week.
Class, wasn't it?
Oh, let me.
Definite contender.
I completely forgot to introduce everyone. Alex is back with us this week. So nice to see you back,
buddy. Welcome back, buddy.
Thank you.
And obviously, I'm joined with Ryan and Jeremy as well. So yeah, I'm sorry.
So they're going at halftime, one up. I thought it was just going to be one of those games that they'd kind of just play counter attack after that and
right.
Kind of park the bus, run out 1-0 against a real poor Chelsea side in that first half. But second half, I mean, this is why they're genuine title contenders, and I'm a believer now. With Chelsea, because their first three shots on target, three goals, and the pass from Fabregas for the first goal to Costa.
Insane.
Just
amazing.
Has Otamendi exactly where he wants him, backs him into the penalty area so he can't do anything, he can't touch him, out-muscles him, and just a great finish. and then, obviously, Willian scoring, which I think was shocking goalkeeping from Bravo.
Right.
Just an absolute. He's about 3 yards too far to his left, and there's like. Might as well have just given him an open goal. Might as well have stood behind the goal and cracked open a, you know, magazine or something and had a read, because might as well have not been stood there.
But Alex pointed out, though, that this weekend, the goalkeeping
was horrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There were at least four games where their goalkeeping errors led to goals, and it was just atrocious.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously Hazard in the 90th minute just, you know, completely killed the game off. There's no coming back for City after that. Great finish, great counter-attacking football. And then the scenes at the end with Aguero going in knee-high studs up on David Luiz.
Right.
You know, I think we spoke about this before we came in the studio. Like, that's been brewing for a few years. You know, I think it goes back to when he was first at Chelsea playing against Man City, and then when he went to PSG and they played in the Champions League, they had a bit of a thing, and then what was it in the cup?
FA Cup.
Kind of a bit firing. Like, Aguero's just lost his cool, frustration. They know they can't win the game.
He said it was an accident.
Just took his
Karate Kid. I mean, come on.
Just took his shot. And yeah, and then Fernandinho gets sent off as well as Aguero for his little fisticuffs with Cesc Fabregas. Fabregas played it perfectly. Might just throw that in.
Yeah, you watch the replay. He got a slap in the start.
Cesc knows what he's doing. He's experienced enough to know. But look, you know, Man City, they've lost the game at home. Not only that, Aguero's now going to be out for 4 games. Fernandinho's going to be out for 3. It's not that is there's 2 players you do not want to lose, you know, with this busy period coming. So, and I think last week I spoke about Pep with his man management maybe having to rest Aguero for like a Boxing Day game or the New Year's Day.
Not a concern anymore.
Made the decision for him.
But so, for Chelsea, I mean, this we've seen this script before, right? This is the same thing that happened last week against Tottenham.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They were goal down and they came back and the counter worked well for them today. And if you look at the possession stats, Chelsea only didn't even have 40%.
Yeah, I mean, the scary thing is as well, like I said, they never had a shot in the first half on target. And for them to still be in the game, look, at 1-0 down and they're still in the game and come out and win 3-1 at City against a very good City side, just frightening for the rest of the Premier League. Like, if you're going to beat this Chelsea team, you've got to be 3 or 4 up at halftime.
Yeah, exactly.
But the only reason they were even close was De Bruyne's miss. Wow.
Yeah. Like I said, we spoke about this earlier. Like, so kind of a contentious thing in the first half with David Luiz. Was he the last man? Was it a genuine goal-scoring opportunity on Aguero? Should he have walked? He didn't. And then you have De Bruyne missing an absolute sitter from a yard off the bar, and they literally go at the other end. Like I said, Fabregas to Costa, 1-1, and then it's just a completely different game. So, look, Chelsea are getting a bit of luck, and, you know, it kind of all evens itself out over the course of a season, and they're punishing teams. That's the difference. They're punishing teams. Like, you give them you give them 3 chances, they score 3 goals. I mean, all you need to know is right there. So,
right. But do Chelsea have the depth?
Absolutely.
They do?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning in here to Blokes on the Bench, All Things Soccer on 94.7. You can get in contact with us, 434-284-9470, or hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com, Blokes on the Bench. We're actually going live right now on Facebook, so if you want to go to our page, you can leave a comment, we can read them out. Fortunately, the camera's not very professional, so only 2 of us are in shot, but there is 4 of us in studio. Yeah,
thanks.
Ryan's
that,
a big camera
handsome
shot.
Is thanks Ryan, that,
but, you know, please feel free to kind of, you know,
I'll be happy
across
to pick it up and move it around in
a bit. No, it's fine.
All right, guys, moving on to the next game, West Bromwich Albion at home at the Hawthorns against Watford. I was expecting more out of Watford. I know that West Bromwich Albion are kind of the surprise team to be in the mid-table this year, but I was expecting more of a fight from Watford, to be perfectly honest.
They played all right, I thought, Watford. They did all right. They came up with, look, I think Ben Foster actually had a pretty decent game. We're going to slate some goalkeepers in this show, but he actually played pretty decent. Him and my boy Pickford for Sunderland were probably the 2 best goalkeepers this weekend. But, yeah, like West Brom, old United boy, Johnny Evans on 16 minutes. Good header, really good header.
Yeah.
Chris Brunt, lucky, kind of deflected, free kick. And obviously Matty Phillips, who's playing brilliant at the moment. And right at the end there to make it, kill the game off, 3-1. But Watford, they had some good chances. They just were a bit unlucky. Troy Deeney had a couple of decent half chances that I think Gareth McCauley was kind of the bane of his existence yesterday. Got a couple of decent blocks in on him. And like I said, Ben Foster was really good in goal for West Brom.
Was there a scuffle at one point during that game? I watched some of it. Wasn't there a scuffle?
Yeah, you had
Troy Deeney came across to kind of like, I guess.
Yeah, McLean, wasn't it? Booted a ball at Pereira, and Pereira just had a swipe at him. And ended up getting
cat fights this weekend.
Getting sent off, yeah. And it was a shame, really, because that was right at a time. That was right at a time where Watford actually, it was 2-1 at the time, and I think they were just about to get back in the game. So, It was 2-1 with 5 minutes to go. He got sent off, and they're trying to, like, you know, push forward Watford to get the equaliser, and Matty Phillips kind of shut up shop with a really good finish. So West Brom up to sixth when it, well, it was on Saturday they'd got up to sixth.
I don't know how they're in seventh. I don't know how you drop when you've won a game, but
because we played today and got a point.
We got 1 point.
Yeah.
But do you think they can hold that?
I don't know. They just ride the wave, won't they? A bit. Pulis is.
A lot of people thought that was.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I felt like they were going to have a bit of a slip because I don't know if many people know this, but Pulis was, found guilty in court at the start of this week. Or was it the back end of last week?
Yeah.
And he has to pay back
Crystal Palace, was it?
$2.7 million to Crystal Palace.
Somebody, he went to them and said, look, I promise to stay. If you give me this money, it's for like...
When he signed for Crystal Palace, he had a £2 million bonus if he kept them in the league. He kept them in the league, but it was on the stipulation that he stayed until the 31st of August. And on the 13th, he asked the chairman for his bonus early because he wanted to purchase some land for his children.
Yeah.
And on the 14th, so he wrote him the check, cashed it on the 13th, and on the 14th, he said he wanted to leave and never bought any land. So it was deemed that he kind of fraudulently... It was a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I thought there would have been a bit more, you know, at it.
And I'm thinking, if you're going to run the risk of £2 million, and you obviously needed it...
Just wait two weeks.
Right.
It was ridiculous, isn't it?
For $2 million.
It was $2 million, but then obviously with the interest and stuff on it, so now he has to pay back $2.7 million. So.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on to the next game.
Rather you than me, Tony.
You had said last week about Swansea that if that was the example that we're going to set,
it
showed in this game. This is a Tottenham versus Swansea at White Hart Lane. Okay, they're playing at White Hart Lane, which isn't the easiest ground to play, especially against your boys.
Yeah,
Tottenham, but
I'm just going to speak briefly about Swansea and then let Alex get into how just dominant Spurs were from start to finish, pretty much. A little bit of a slow start, if I'm being honest, but they racked it up and got the result. But Swansea, I said last week, if either Crystal Palace or Swansea in that 5-4 of last week play anything like that week in, week out, they will both get relegated. One of those teams made an adjustment this week, and the other team didn't, and Swansea is the team that didn't. Excuse me. And just poor. Second to every ball, no fight, little quality. Can't get the ball out of pressure areas with three passes. They can't string three passes together. Just really poor. But they came up against a top team that aren't gonna let them kind of have that space and that. And that dominance.
And it truly was a team effort, I would say, for Spurs. Every single player on the squad had a very good game, I would say. Last week we were saying Dembele maybe had some issues, Kyle Walker, not so this week. It was quite a team performance. I was very impressed by Kane in particular. He looked like he played last year where he was just on target. He's just ruthless. When he's really going for goal, I mean, it's like Chris. I'm not saying he's good as Ronaldo or anything like that, but he gets selfish, and that's what Ronaldo does. And Kane was just truly just going for goal every single chance he had. He took one right out of the feet from Son for his second.
Yeah.
He had an excellent game. I think it was just all around well played. Also great to see Eriksen get on the score sheet again. He's one of those players that I feel like sometimes he just kind of fades into the distance. You don't even remember that he's around. But today, yesterday, he played very well. Granted, first goal was kind of lucky off his shoulder. But the second goal was a good one. And overall, I thought Tottenham played very well. Swansea, wow. 9 points and we're in December. Not even in double digits. I mean, they've got to be the odds-on favorite to go down. Bob Bradley doesn't look like that great of a coach right now.
He's in over his head, it looks like.
Right, because he's inherited all this. Probably.
Yeah, but I think anybody would have gone. I think you could put Pep Guardiola in there for Swansea. You can only work with what you've got. And if your players are showing very little desire to close down in packs, they go through this in training every single day of how to press a team, especially of high intensity like Tottenham, and for you to work for a whole week in training and obviously something that's seeing something that's working pretty well, and then to go out and go to a place like White Hart Lane and be like, okay, boys, now go and express yourself, and then do absolutely nothing. I mean, if I was Bob Bradley, I'd just be on the first plane back over here. I mean, it's just shocking. Well, absolute shocking.
You say that like, you know, you got to work with what you've got, but at the same time, I'm getting ahead here, but you look at Bournemouth and what they did to Liverpool today.
Yeah, but they have spirit. But they have belief.
Because and that was also at home for
Bournemouth. Yeah, and they've got, look, they've got enough about them, and they've got enough quality in areas, okay, that they know that they can go to any of the big boys, Bournemouth, and if they play really, really well, they're in with a chance.
Yeah.
They're in with a chance. And play for their manager. They believe in the manager. They believe in everything that they're doing. And even going, what were they, 2-0 down? We'll get to that game in a minute, obviously. Yeah. But, like, but you know, 2-0 down, they show so much desire to get back in the game. And that's what they did. They gave themselves a chance. They got back in the game. Swansea never looked like scoring. Went even at 2-0 to Spurs, they never looked like scoring, ever.
No.
They've got no chance of getting back in the game.
Well, and part of that, I think, was just how well Tottenham was playing. Like Alex said, I mean, not it was a team effort. I mean, everybody looked in form.
Swansea didn't have a shot on target.
You're not
going to win any game without a shot on target.
Like, what do you want? Like the Tottenham boys to start trying to take shots at Lloris? I mean, but it's not going to happen, is it?
But I mean, one thing that was somewhat, I mean, what started the whole kind of goal onslaught off was the Ali
dive.
I mean, for me, obviously, I support Spurs, but you don't like to see that in the game, even if it's for your team. I think that they've got to do something to get that kind of play to stop. I think there should be retroactive suspensions or something like that, because dives in the game, you see it in the Premier League, it's one thing, and it sure is 5-0, but you see it in bigger tournaments. People are going to ground when there's just a blade of grass that touches them, and that's just not good enough. For me, it really just it hurts the game. I think overall he had a good game, but that one play, I can't endorse that.
No, but you say like, okay, so the game did end up finishing 5-0, yeah? And Pochettino said this after the game. He goes, it doesn't even matter. We won 5-0. And I'm thinking, okay, but you're playing against a really poor team who held out for 39 minutes, and in my opinion, would have held out till halftime if it wasn't given. So you go in at 0-0 at halftime.
Maybe.
I don't think you can say that it doesn't have a bearing. If it's the first, look, if they were 4-0 up and he dives in the last minute, you're absolutely right, it's irrelevant. But when it's the first goal in a game that close to halftime, it has to be relevant. It has to be. I don't think there's any debate about that. Yeah, they could have run out. Look, it could have been they not scored and they play the second half and score 8 goals.
Mm.
But the fact is, it is relevant. It does matter. I know Son scored in stoppage time of the first half, an absolute corker, by the way.
That was for me the goal of the week.
But, it's definitely set the tone. But, hey, as far as I'm concerned, Tottenham are going to win that game all day long. But,
yeah,
fair play, Spurs. Rolling on, you know me.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning in to Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC Charlesville. You can get in contact with us 4342 849 470, or hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/Blokes on the Bench. We are going live. We are having some reconnection issues. The internet's not great, but bear with us. If you have any questions, you can either hit us up on the live, Facebook Live, or Blokes on the Bench, all one word, no capitals, at hotmail.com, and we will read your questions out. What better way to get in contact with us if you're a bit shy on the phone?
There you go.
All right, Stadium of Light. The lights didn't go off this time.
Paid the bill this week.
Right. Sunderland versus Leicester City. Leicester City is just not even, no effort. It's just
dreadful.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. And putting all their eggs in one basket for the Champions League. I'm sorry. I know you were saying last week about, you know, I'd do the same. I wouldn't. Ranieri is, I reckon he's the one that's going to get the chop next.
I mean,
I don't think that just because you won the Premier League,
you might be a good shout.
They'll get put. I bet you Leicester City will get knocked out the first time they come up against any quality competition. I know you're saying that you play whoever's in front of you, but they really didn't have that much.
Look, I think I figured it out this week when I watched it, because actually it's one of those games that I haven't really watched a full game of Leicester this season.
Me neither.
I've seen like bits and parts and the highlights. You only get a little bit from. I actually watched this game. And from the very first whistle, so Leicester went with two up top. And because they don't have that engine in the midfield, and they get overrun in midfield. Sunderland playing five in there because they have an Ichibi actually dropping back in and making a bit of a five. Leicester have to do the same. One of those front two, Vardy or I can't remember who the other guy was, have to drop back, have to drop in and make up the numbers, and they don't. Vardy last year, the secret to Leicester last year was defending from the front. Defending from the front. Vardy would go cover every blade of grass in that in the opposing half, closing people down. Look, when you're a defender and you receive the ball, chances are you should have three options to pass the ball, yeah? Last year, Vardy basically gave a player one option. And then if you have your midfielders then closing down that one option, suddenly that person who receives the ball might only have one option or a half option or just lump it up the field. They don't do that. They just stood off. They gave Sunderland so much freedom. Sunderland actually looked like a very, very good footballing side yesterday. Yeah. And it was all down to Leicester just not doing the basics, right. Closing people down.
All right, guys, the time is now 20 past 6. We'll be right back with more about the Leicester game. All right, guys, welcome back. Any more on the Leicester game then? I mean, what do you think of the Huth own goal?
Yeah, not really a lot. It was the new guy for Sunderland. It would have been his first goal, but I think it was going wide and hits Huth and goes in.
It wasn't Cahill quality.
No, it wasn't.
Let's be honest.
No, Huth's definitely won that one.
He's been practicing.
And then just an absolute class finish from Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah.
He's been doing that for years, hasn't he?
He really has.
Box in the box.
He's been like that for years, but, you know, it's always the late goal for him, it seems like. So, good for him. But we were talking during the break, you know, what is it about Leicester that's different this year? The loss of Conte for me is just huge. I mean, Chelsea are playing so well, but I mean, he was the guy in the center that really bossed from box to box.
Well, that's what I mean as well. He covered every blade of grass. So think about it, last year. You had even like Mahrez getting in on the defensive act and closing people down. You got Vardy who just would sprint for 90 minutes, just closing people down. And then if somebody actually did get into the midfield, you had Conte drink water. Constantly just biting at people, nicking the ball away, finding that ball over the top. They have no setup for their way of playing the way they did last year. They have no setup this year for that because they're not working hard enough. I mean, Mahrez wandering into the penalty area to do defending, walked into the box to defend. I'm like, just get him off. He obviously doesn't want to play. And they've all signed new contracts as well, these Leicester boys, making fat money, and they're not earning an absolute penny of it. It's just so poor. I'm not saying that they're not committed. I think it's got to be so tough to go from that huge high and then trying to back it up and then in the back of your mind knowing that I don't think we can do this.
And you still
trying to motivate yourself to kind of turn the waters a little bit and they just can't do it. But you've got to see more effort.
But do you think that Jamie Vardy's opportunity to go to Arsenal, he should have taken it?
And we said this, it's hindsight's perfect, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, if they were third in the league right now, Leicester, and he'd scored 8 goals, you'd be like, oh, best decision he ever made. So it's all based on what we know. It's impossible to say. But I think if somebody comes in for him in January,
he'll go.
Yeah, but would he even get in the Arsenal squad right now? I mean, look at what Sanchez is doing.
No, but I think he would have at the start of the year.
Maybe, but he wouldn't be playing now, that's for sure.
No.
All right, guys, moving on to the next game at the Bet365 Stadium, Stoke versus Burnley. Oh, these goals, Stoke's two, both goals were peaches. I really enjoyed watching this game.
Stoke
Jonathan Walters in the 20th minute.
Yeah. I mean, look, they came up against a Burnley side that did not play well. I mean, they really didn't play well. But Stoke, so really professional performance. Defended so well, boss midfield, and like you said, two goals were brilliant. And it was 2-0 at half time, and they've just coasted the second half, basically. Really, really good.
And Stoke are sitting in the top 10 at the minute.
Yeah, they've put in a little run together. Mm. They'll be all right, because I was worried about them about 4 or 5 weeks ago. I think they had like 3 losses on the bounce.
Yeah.
They bounced back. Got a lot of key players back fit. I know Joe Allen was back on the bench for this game, coming back from injury, and he came on for I think about 20 minutes of the second half, something like that. So it's good to see him back. Stoke are going to be fine. They played really well.
All right, so another one, Selhurst Park, Crystal Palace versus Southampton. And Foster's kind of howler. I mean,
Yeah, bless him. And with Southgate in the stands as well.
He's like, no, I don't want to play for England.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way you get... I mean, is he going to be in the England squad after something like that?
Yeah.
Maybe. That was...
He'll be in this. Look, keepers, like he said after the game, he goes, it's not the first mistake I've ever made, and it certainly won't be the last, so you just got to dust yourself off and roll on.
But why was he kicking that with his left foot? Why did he let that run across?
Believe me, I know, it's because we're left footed.
Still, left footed.
Our right foots are
it
just for standing.
Doesn't matter
on.
Where it goes, just get
but,
it out.
Look, the thing is, this result for me didn't really reflect. It was kind of flattering to Palace. They scored at really key moments.
Mm.
Okay, so the Benteke gift on 33. And then you have Tompkins made a really great run off I think it was like a Delaney flick from a corner. Scored from point blank range. So they went in 2-0 at halftime. Southampton had their chances as well, and they were kind of unlucky maybe not to get a penalty in that second half that would have got them straight back in it. Shane Long probably should have scored with his first touch when he came on.
Oh, that was great. Near post.
So, yeah, I mean, all in all, Pardew needed that 3-0.
Right.
I think it was pretty much, you know, if we lose this game.
I think the owner was looking down at him, and they both kind of gave each other a
thumbs up.
Yeah, a little nudge.
Yeah.
Because I know Pardew said after the game that, you know, he wanted to take this moment to thank his owner.
Right.
Because with the new investors...
Not all of them understand the game.
Not knowing
six defeats or whatever it was.
Yeah, and trying to justify that and trying to explain, like, the process for it and stuff. I mean, yeah, fair play. To be honest, I hope they go on and have at least a couple of wins now.
Yeah, but look at their next five games.
Right.
They have to play Man U, play Chelsea, they play Arsenal.
Well, Man U's
three of the next five.
One draw, isn't it? So,
well, what we play,
that's a point
we play
for
Spurs
them.
Next week, don't we?
They could beat us.
Ooh. Next Sunday, yeah.
They've scored more goals than we have this season.
You're not welcome next week, by the way.
Yeah.
All right, guys, moving on. At the London Stadium, West Ham versus Arsenal. West Ham's kind of... They're not getting much rub of the green, to be perfectly honest with you.
I mean, it's a shame Mark's not here today, because they were fantastic. I'll say it.
They really were.
Yeah. Really good. First goal, absolute tap-in for Ozil. Great work from Sanchez. Just make it look easy, don't they? You know, I think West Ham had a couple of maybe half chances to get back in it when it was 1-0, because it was 1-0 for a long time. But then Sanchez's first goal was a corker. Second goal was probably even better than the first. And then the Ox scored an absolute belter. And then for me, probably the goal of the weekend was his third one. Not doesn't look that special when you say, yeah, he's just dinked it over the keeper from 6 yards out. But when you do a step over, and then with the same foot that you've done a step over with, dink it over the keeper, that's pretty sick.
It was like
that's
street ball.
Sick. But he obviously is a player who's just thriving with confidence right now, playing really well. So, yeah, I mean, fair play to him, 5-1. Arsenal are the real deal.
Go ahead.
So, the real question out there that we've seen from many people is, is Sanchez world class?
I think he is. He's filthy right now. Dirtiest player in the game.
I'm gonna say very, 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 very good, and he's in that bracket of almost. But if you're gonna tell who's world class, like
Ronaldo, Messi.
Who else do you put in that bracket? For me,
I'd say Bale, but he's just never healthy.
Yeah, see, for me, Bale is in the just below bracket. So if I'm going world class, I'm going Messi, Ronaldo, might be it. And then you've got that little bracket of Bale, Neymar, Suarez. I kind of want to put Aguero in there. Like, let's not base it on this week and last week, but, you know, Aguero. And then I would probably have another bracket just under there with the likes of Sanchez. And...
But if you can keep it up,
and
if
Hazard,
you can keep it up,
Diego Costa.
Yeah.
See, right, I'd take Sanchez over Bale right now, and Neymar.
Well, I'd take anyone over someone that's injured. You know?
Yeah. But yeah, for me, Sanchez, I think it was on Match of the Day this week where I think Alan Shearer put it best. It's like, he will be considered world-class if he wins Arsenal the league this year.
Yeah.
I think trophies and everything...
And it's a consistency thing. It has to be year to year to year.
Yeah,
I mean, if that's what you're basing it on, then
Jimmy Vardy should be, you know,
after last year. Yeah.
Right.
And Kane, I mean, I'm not saying that Kane is yet, but he's got to be in that next tier.
I would put Harry Kane in that tier just below the Suarez, Neymar.
But if he can keep it up.
Well, in a lot of
he's only for three. Let's give him his dues. For the past 2.5 years, Harry Kane has been an absolute beast in front of goal. Everyone thought he was a one-season wonder. Comes back, scores 25 goals. This year, I think he was injured a little bit at the start of this year as well, and yeah. I think he's already bagged, like, what, 8, 9?
I mean, had Real Madrid want him last year. Real Madrid wants you, your class.
United want him.
Yeah.
So I'll take him.
Talk about the surprise result of the weekend. Bournemouth versus Liverpool. This game is...
So far, this is the best game of the season for me. Quality-wise, this was the best game of the season so far. Yeah, because it was just so swings and roundabouts.
You see like, Mane's goal? Like, what, 7 degrees of
getting... No, that was Origi.
All right, yeah,
Origi.
Yeah.
Another goalkeeping howler from Boric. comes flying out. Origi just knocks it around him. Like you said, they worked out. It was like 7 degrees of target, and he's just hit a beauty.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Bender, yeah. But 2-0 up. Then from that moment, and what was that, like the 22nd minute, 23rd minute?
Right.
I'm expecting the way they're playing, because Bournemouth had done nothing up to that point. So I'm expecting this to be like, oh, okay, Liverpool are going to run out like 5-0, 4-0 winners here. Didn't happen. Didn't happen, did it?
They gave up the penalty.
Gave up the penalty. Wilson gets them back in it. I thought the massive, massive turning point for Bournemouth shows what a great manager he is. Is bringing
Fraser.
On, yeah, bringing on Fraser.
Yeah. He's somebody that
turned the game, didn't he? He was
22-year-old from Aberdeen.
Brilliant, absolute brilliant. I thought the Cork goal was really good, and that got them back to 3-3. And then Ake.
I was off my seat.
In the 93rd minute. It's just brilliant. Brilliant. And that shows the fight and the determination of a team like Bournemouth. Brilliant. What a game. Absolute game. But I'll tell you something. Liverpool, their defence, and it's not necessarily... Look, the goals that Bournemouth scored were very, very good, but the position sense from the Liverpool defenders was absolute woeful, shocking in that second half. They just couldn't get to grips with the physicality, especially Wilson up front, and then when Fraser came on. What a game.
With your background in keeping, for me too, when you got a keeper like Liverpool has, it doesn't really inspire a lot of confidence for me. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a world class. He's not a...
It's relative. I guarantee, right, 40% of the dressing room, when he signs, had no idea who he was.
Well, that's, and I guess that's what I was trying to say.
And I think I'm being generous at 40%. It was probably more like 60-40 the other way. Like,
who?
But look, you got, I think, Klopp, he's not a stupid bloke. I think he sees something in him. Look, it's his first thing. We all know what De Gea was like when he first came to United.
Amazing.
absolute shocking. And
wasn't Van der Sar, that's for sure.
I do want to say that 4 years ago I said this will be the best goalkeeper that's ever walked the face of the earth. And boom.
You call everything.
Mate, fingertip save.
You got those numbers down for the...
Yes. Fingertip save. When Mata played for Chelsea, that free kick when we got it back to 3-3. Last minute. It was a goal all over it and he tips it over the bar. Sensational. Welcome to the Premier League.
I just got an alert. Not to go back, but Alan Shearer said that Sanchez is not world-class.
I'm in agreement right now. But
all right, guys, don't forget you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. You can get in contact with us on 434-284-9470 or hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. We are having some issues with our live. I think the internet connection is not great. But bear with us. If you've got any questions for the show, Blokes on the Bench, all one word, no capitals, at hotmail.com. We'll read some of them out. Anything more about this game? I mean,
No.
I mean, we were talking about the injuries last week, right? So, have the injuries caught up to them?
Well, Lallana's back.
Lallana's back, but you've got to give him, like, more than a game thing. I thought he played quite well, Lallana. He had a couple of decent chances. But, yeah, it was just one of them. Like, Liverpool kind of lost their focus a little bit. I think Liverpool, when it got to 2-0, thought it was just going to be a walk in the park for the next...
Right.
You know, 70 minutes. Yeah, they did get complacent. And look, I said, once a team gets back in it, 2-0 down is a really scary, being 2-0 up is a really scary scoreline, because unless you score next, game on. No matter, you can take it to the 75th, the 80th minute, if it's still 2-0, if you don't score next, still game on.
Well, I think it's like you said earlier with Bournemouth, it's that belief, it's the manager, you got guys that are willing to fight, they're not just going to roll over and play dead.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. And when Liverpool's defence in that second half was so shocking, they were getting picked off in certain areas. That all that does is bleed confidence into the opposing team. So Bournemouth are looking at this thinking, oh, I tell you what, if we can just get one goal, if we can just get back in this, we can take these boys. And that's exactly what they ended up doing. But yeah, shocking goalkeeping, wasn't it?
Is Liverpool's defence just only, what, second worst to maybe Swansea? Is it that bad?
They're bad.
It's rough.
They're bad. I would probably go Swansea, Burnley, Liverpool. But
so are they still title contenders?
No, well, you can't. They're not going to win the title with that defence. Yeah. No chance.
So
what does Klopp do then? Does he go out in January and just bolster up that back?
Got to bring someone in. Have to. Probably get Mignolet back in the sticks as well.
Hey, what's up with Mignolet?
He's not good enough to be number one at the moment.
Is he still number one for Belgium?
No, it's Courtois, isn't it? All day
oh,
long.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys, moving on to the last game of the weekend. Goodison Park.
Do we have to?
Everton versus Manchester United. Yeah, I mean,
I thought I was watching an MLS match.
That's
not one of the good
first
ones.
Let's just go through the game in order, right? So you got the Rojo incident, which clearly
should have been a red.
Very, very lucky to be still in the field. I mean,
second worst tackle after the Aguero tackle.
The only reason we scored from Ibra was Stecky come out a little too far.
A little? Where was he? What was he thinking?
I think he went to shoot.
Well, I think the only thing, I think one of the big factors in the Rojo incident with the two-footed challenge is if the guy, who was it against? Kana? Is that his name? New midfielder. He just kind of, he was on the floor for about 5 seconds, and then just got straight back to his feet.
He got up, and then he tried to get back down.
Yeah, and then he tried to, like, limp. I think the fact that he did try to get up so quickly and didn't, like, roll around on the ground, like his leg had been shattered in 5 places, I think was a massive help for Rojo.
Yeah.
So fair play to the Everton boy for that. But, yeah, it was bad. Yeah, it was a bad tackle.
It was also very stop and start. Jeremy, you had mentioned that it reminded you of an MLS game. I think it reminded me of, like, what you guys call football, an American football game, was just stop, start, stop, start. You know what I mean? It wasn't a continuous flow. There was just people getting in really scrappy situations.
Well, for like every good pass, there were about 3 terrible ones.
Yeah.
Herrera? Even Carrick made a few like little kind of blunders, which is uncharacteristic.
Yeah, but I mean, the only thing I'd say about the Carrick ones, where he's like, he's trying to feed the eye of a needle because he's sitting there thinking, why do we keep going sideways and backwards? At least he's trying to, like, move the ball forward. Like, you can see, like, you know, I got no problem with that. It's the sloppy ones side to side. Like, Mkhitaryan was guilty of it. Valencia was guilty of it today. Just pretty poor across the board. But for as poor as we were, I think Everton were worse. I still think we were the better team.
Right. And then, I don't think so late second half.
No, but, yeah.
Lukaku was all over the pitch. I mean, he's hustling down every ball. Like, I definitely felt that Everton was going to be more of a threat to score second half.
Yeah, but Phil Jones was brilliant. That save from De Gea on Morales was just
unbelievable.
That's what you just see pretty much every year from him at the moment. So,
all right, guys, we'll get back. I want to talk about Fellini. All right, I want to get back here. All right, the time is now 20-7. All right, guys, welcome back. Fellini.
Garbage.
I'm of the opinion that this guy needs to go.
He just
send him, you know, sure, somebody will take him.
He shouldn't see the pitch. And our past 3 managers have continually given him shot after shot to just show you he does dumb fouls, and he's just a big oaf out there.
I disagree. I'd say there's at least 15 games a season that you need him in the team.
We figure out which ones them are, and then
I wish we would, and then we stop playing him against.
You don't even have to come in; just go home, relax. You know,
I do like him. I do think he gives us something.
Is he a better player when he starts at the beginning of the game?
I haven't worked that one out yet either. I can't decide that.
He comes on a lot at the end of games, and you know, this is almost like his role, it seems like, at times.
Like, I think the only times he comes on at the end of games is either to shut up shop. He never comes on when we're 3 or 4 nothing up. Never does. If we're 1-0 up, he'll come on to try and shut up shop, like he tried to do today, very poorly. Yeah. Or if we're 1-1 down with, like, 10 minutes to go, we'll bring him on, we'll sling him up front, and we'll just pepper balls into the box.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's not a great advert for the guy of, like, what do we get from him. But he has played some decent games for us this year at the start of the season. I mean, we can't forget, like, you know, the first 4 games. I think we won the first 3 and drew the 4th one. And he played in the first 3 games, and we won them all. He played really well. We had no Michael Carrick, and it was Fellaini, Herrera, and Pogba at the start. And everyone was moaning about that, but we got 3 wins.
Well, you know who we're undefeated with, and he didn't see the pitch today? Schweinsteiger. Let's put him in.
Yeah.
What is undefeated it about, with the man.
What is it about our squad? We have all these quality players, and we're struggling to get results. It feels to me like we have...
At this point in the season...
We've got the spear, but we don't have the spear tip. We're not...
Mourinho,
we've got the stick without the point. Yeah.
It's like Mourinho doesn't know who the best 11 is, in my opinion.
I think that's fair.
I think he does, though. I think he does.
Not when you put Fellaini on the pitch.
Midweek?
He doesn't have a clue.
I think everyone in midweek would have gone, okay, there's your strongest team.
So Mata's on the bench? Mata?
No, was Mata not playing midweek?
No.
Oh, no, midweek. Okay.
Yeah, see, yeah, but in midweek, like, this is what I hate. Like, we'll jump around.
Okay, I know, it's FA Cup, but, you know.
Yeah, but we'll jump around and get excited about, like, a 4-1 drubbing at home on a Wednesday night against West Ham when 3 days before that, they could have easily beat us in that 1-1. And it's just like, I can't stand it. Like, I'm not getting excited about a 4-1 over, because they were shocked. West Ham were shocking midweek against us. They were actually pretty decent in the first half. Second half, they were shocking, terrible. So you can't take any kind of judgment from that. Yeah, you got to beat who's in front of you and all that malarkey. And yeah, we won 4-1. But again, today, I'm expecting something so much more than what we did. Ibra, great goal. Fellaini, what are you doing in the 89th minute? Just stand the man up. I mean, this is the thing, yeah? De Gea's done nothing in the first half, really. Not much in the first half or the second half. And then when he is called upon, he's made 2 really, really great saves. So, you know what? Let the boy cut inside on you. Stand up. You might get a flick and defend it. You ain't got to just bulldoze into him. He's going away from goal. It's just poor decision-making from an experienced professional. And I wonder what he says. I've always wondered, like, because there's a lot of players that have done something like that. What do you say when you go into the dressing room? You've been on the pitch for 30 seconds to do a job, and you do that. You basically throw the game away. You have the rest of these lads that have been, you know, kind of slogging their guts out for 89 minutes for you to come on for 30 seconds of madness.
I was sick when I saw he was going on the pitch. Like, literally.
I saw him warm up, and I thought, yay, I don't know. And then he went and sat back down, and I was like, yep, okay, he's not coming on. And I don't know, I was kind of mixture. I want him to prove himself still, but I just, today, just done it for me.
And for me, Ibrahimovic, I mean, there's no denying the record. The guy scores goals. He's got, what, 6 in the last 7 matches? But there's just times in the match where he just looks so lazy.
Yeah, you got to do more.
He got megged by Cleverley. Like, he's just kind of... Even his goal, like...
You should go into retirement just for having that on your CV, shouldn't you? That you got nutmegged by Cleverley. Cleverley has put the ball through your legs, ran past her and gone, meg.
Cleverley was getting booed by his own fans the whole match. He was so bad. And Pogba, where was he at?
Shocking.
Yeah, I know.
Most expensive player in the world. We could have signed a whole back line. We could have got a decent midfielder.
We could have got Troy Deeney for that.
I know. And Andy would have every colorway of the shirt.
He'd have had it on the goalkeeper jersey. Deeney.
All right, guys. So that kind of puts their table. We've got 14 games in. Chelsea are sitting at number 1 on 34 points. Arsenal in 2nd. Liverpool in 3rd. Manchester City in 4th. Tottenham in 5th. 6th, Manchester United. West Bromwich Albion are sitting in 7th, wow. Everton in 8th, and then Stoke City 9th, and Bournemouth respectively in number 10. And Swansea are obviously sitting right at the bottom.
Yeah.
9 points still. That's crazy.
So what do you do? Does Bob Bradley just... Do they keep him?
I think he's got to bring now. In his son. He's got to bring in Michael.
I think you have to keep
midfield.
Him. It's just... It's... You got to, hopefully, this. If I was him, I would be going in there saying, okay, to the owners, you've brought me in. This is who I need in January. I don't care if we have to splash 20 million or if we get four loan deals. These are the players that I need.
Right.
Go get them for me. Because if you don't get them for me, I can't do my job. Because the players I have aren't cutting it.
Right.
And the 20 million spent, you'll make that back if you easily.
People are talking about
how
much harder it is for the smaller clubs in the Premier League to get players and attracted to them. No, you're in the Premier League. People are going to come play for you, and maybe even if they're like, well, I'll play for Swansea, put my heart and soul into it, and then United will come get me after 2 years, you're still going to get people wanting you to come play
for
them.
Well, look at Bonny. Spent 2 years at Swansea and then went to Man City. Yeah, it didn't work out, but that's a massive move
right.
for a player from Swansea. Yeah. Do you know what I mean by that?
No, Swansea have been a selling club. I mean, they've sold off pretty much all their best players over the years.
All right, Jeremy, got any of the Champions League or the Liga results, sir?
So I've got La Liga, which pretty much the only thing I
Classico.
Think we need to talk about is Classico.
Talk about El Clasico, yeah.
And I mean, actually, not that it was a great match. It was a 1-1 draw. Yeah.
Suarez was a sick header.
Yeah, his
debatable whether or not
him?
The ball from Neymar was just
great. Great free kick. Is he offside in phase one? Probably 2 inches offside. Was it his boot? Was it his teeth? Don't know, but he was definitely offside a couple of inches. But it's still a great header, isn't it? I mean, to generate that much power. I think a lot of it comes from the cross.
A lot of it came from him pushing away on the dude in front of him in order to be free there. I mean,
classic centre forward play. I love it. but 1-0. Really poor performance from Real Madrid in the second half. I said to you out there, Marcelo, the left back. Shocking. I thought he was terrible. I mean, it's fine. I didn't see him complete one pass. Mm. I watched the whole of the second half. I didn't see him complete one pass. Ronaldo, I thought, was poor. Mm. Didn't work hard enough.
He was being so greedy throughout the game.
Yeah.
There were a couple times he could have passed a few players and just didn't do it.
Yeah. I think for him, especially for him and Messi in that game, the pressure is the limelight so much on those two that whenever they get the ball, they feel it's their duty to kind of make something happen instead of just doing the simple thing and build it through a very good team. And they just...
Well, apparently this was like either... I think yesterday might have been the 9th El Clasico that Messi now has not scored in.
Right.
But to me, like, and I said it to you beforehand, like, Messi just, like, he didn't even look like he was enjoying being out there.
No, yeah.
Like, it was...
But you could tell that Real, they missed Gareth Bale. They missed that bit of pace in behind.
But I will say, the guys, forgot all their names now.
I forgot the whole team's names.
But the kid that was on for him.
I know you're on about.
I thought he was fantastic. I actually played a match with FIFA afterwards and had a brace with him. But,
so, yeah, it was... So that game was Suarez scored in the 53rd minute. Neymar has such a great chance, and I think it's like the 75th minute.
Wow.
Cuts inside beautifully. He's like, what,
just
7 yards
it.
Out? So much of the corner to aim for, and for some reason he's decided to go high instead of low and put it over the bar. Unbelievable miss.
He could have just passed it into the back of the net.
He could have done some silky little back flick and flicked it in the bottom corner, but for some reason he's tried to lash it in the top corner from 7 yards instead of just stroking it in. And then...
Ramos. The
doing
man
what he
is
does.
Just unbelievably clutch.
Cut. Every clutch. Game they need him, he comes there.
Top,
it's amazing.
Top defender. Mm.
Best head
finish.
In Europe.
Him and Benteke, best headers in Europe. Brilliant goal, wasn't it? And finished 1-1. Still think Barca were probably the better team, but, you know, that's the way it goes. Good result for Real away at the Nou Camp. So.
And they're still undefeated for the year.
There you go.
Yeah. So we do have some big games coming up in the Champions League this week, Ryan.
Not necessarily about big, but you got...
Celtic versus Barcelona. Come on, you boys in green.
I think a lot of the groups now are pretty much sorted. I think there's only a couple of teams that can shake things up a little bit. So, go ahead, mate.
So Group A on the 6th of December, you have PSG taking on Ludogorets, Basel taking on Arsenal.
Come on, Basel!
Yeah.
Dynamo Kiev's got Besiktas.
Besiktas.
Benfica playing Napoli, Barcelona against Mönchengladbach, City's taking on Celtic, PSV's got Rostov. Then the next day you got Leverkusen taking on Monaco.
Top of the group there.
Yeah.
Tottenham with CSKA Moscow. Real Madrid with Dortmund, that'll probably be best matchup. Legia's got Sporting, Club Brugge has Leicester. Go Foxes, Lyon versus Sevilla, and Juventus versus Dynamo Zagreb.
These are all games that were already played. They're just the second leg, right?
I'll probably catch the highlights of a couple of them. I think Tottenham will field a weak team because they're not really playing for anything.
Yeah, you'll see a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
In Wembley for the first time, probably for a lot of them. Good for them.
And then I think Leicester are guaranteed top.
Yeah.
So I think they'll probably field a lesser team.
Real Madrid, Dortmund, that should be good, right?
Yeah, that would be a good game. Dortmund coming off the 8-4 win over...
That's so funny, though, isn't it? I'm trying to figure out the groups who plays each other, but you wouldn't want to be playing either Dortmund or Real Madrid. And they're first and second in their group.
Yeah, it's such an advantage when you win the group there. But you know,
I can see Dortmund making some noise.
I mean, Dortmund are top of the group right now, so Madrid need the win.
Yeah, I could see.
So they'll probably field a top squad.
Yeah, I think that'll be probably the game. I think that'll be the game of the Champions League.
And it's in Madrid. Yeah.
All right, guys, coming on to the fixtures for next week. We actually have a game tomorrow, Middlesbrough versus Hull.
Going Middlesbrough. I think I already predicted this last week too.
Yeah, we actually did talk about this game.
Yeah.
What are you going to say, Jeremy?
I just got a question from Tomas. He was saying, I guess after all my bad-mouthing of Man United, that if we were to change managers, who would we tap for the next one? And after Eric Cantona's rant about coaching for England,
Cantona?
Could we... Cantona. You know I like my Cantona.
I know you love Cantona.
Cantona, what?
Kick it like Cantona, baby. But could he be taken seriously as a potential skipper in the future?
Never. Is the answer to that
I could see him kicking a fan in the face.
Never. Never going to happen. He'll be an ambassador for the club to the day he dies, but no, he's done nothing in management. I think he managed one of the sport relief teams when we had like the Celebrity 11 versus the Celebrity 11.
He's not a bad actor.
But no, he's never going to do that. And we're not going to change our manager. We're not going to sack Jose.
You had to wait at least until the end of the year if you're going to make any kind of crazy moves.
I think any manager in this day and age, you have to give him two seasons.
Yeah, they've got a plan.
You can't expect miracles. You know,
I was
hoping that we would put a challenge together this year and maybe do something, but if we end up winning the EFL Cup and that's it, then I guess we'll take that.
I could see Mourinho starting to sabotage it. 5 games left in the season. Mm. Just seeing him completely break down and running out of town like he did at Madrid.
Kicking bottles everywhere. Just. All right, guys. So, Saturday, we have Watford versus Everton.
Okay, 1-1.
Arsenal versus Stoke.
That'll be a good game, but I think Arsenal will win 2-1.
Burnley versus Bournemouth.
Bournemouth 3-1.
Hull versus Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace.
I'm going to go Hull to win that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Swansea versus Sunderland.
Sunderland to win that. Like, literally 4-0.
7-0.
Defoe hat-trick.
Leicester City versus Manchester City.
City
are going to win.
No, I think it'll be 1-1. Sneaky feeling, yeah. Leicester have got to do something quick.
All right, so most of the big games I think of are coming.
We got a good Sunday coming up,
haven't we? Yeah,
my dad's birthday, isn't it?
Yeah, December 11th.
Oh, happy birthday to your dad. Yeah.
Well done, Bri.
All right, so Chelsea versus West Ham.
Chelsea. That'll be like 5-0.
Chelsea.
5 or 6-0.
Man United versus Spurs.
5 or 6-0 to the Spurs, isn't it?
I guarantee. Spurs.
4-2 Spurs.
I think it'll be 1-1. I really like 1-1.
Spurs seem to struggle, honestly, it seems, unless in a lot of these games.
I could actually, I'm going to go out right now and say Man United versus Spurs, 0-0. It'll be his boring game.
Alex, what do you think?
Oh, man. I think that Tottenham are going to win that. Probably 2-1, I would say.
I think the two goalkeepers will have
a busy
it'll be
day.
It'll be the spokespeople in that game. That's why I think it'll be 0-0. I think there won't be that many chances, and I think they're both that good that it will end up being 0-0.
Southampton versus Middlesbrough?
Southampton need to bounce back, don't they? I think it'll be interesting to see what Middlesbrough do tomorrow night against Hull. I think they'll win that game. I can see that being a draw.
What about Liverpool versus West Ham?
West Ham. 1-0.
Oh, sorry, no, hold on.
Yeah, one of them's got to be West Brom.
Oh, okay.
You got? Is it Chelsea West Ham next week, or is it Chelsea West Brom?
I have no idea.
Or is it Liverpool West Brom?
It's up to you guys. We're not going to tell you. It's just
either way,
guess.
I'm going to go. Chelsea's going to win, whether or not they're playing
Chelsea
West Ham or West Brom.
And
Liverpool
really
are going to win if they're playing West Brom or West Ham.
Chelsea's got West Brom.
All right. Matty Phillips for the 1-0. Come on, boys. I changed my mind now. I went 5-0. Now I know it's West Brom and Matty Phillips. Let's go. 1-0, West Brom.
All right, guys, that's about it for this week at Blokes on the Bench. Thanks to Alex for coming back. You're
cheers,
more than welcome.
Al.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah.
And obviously, thanks to Ryan and Jeremy.
Welcome, mate.
And we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.